We're doing the Chazon Ish. We're up to the third chapter, the eighth paragraph. What Chazon Ish taught us last night was the idea that by learning the details of a halacha, one connects to the halacha. The Chazon Ish had said there are two types of learning. There's learning when I need to know generally what the mitzvot are. We said a person should try to encompass all 613 mitzvot. There are shortcut books to that. There are, like Chafetz Chaim wrote a short book, which you can finish in a week. Giving it 15, 20 minutes a day, Sefer Mitzvot Katzar, so you get a general picture what the mitzvot are. You learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you get a general picture. Then there's taking a mitzvah, taking a halacha, and analyzing the details of it. And the Chazon Ish had said that when a person works hard to understand the details of a specific halacha, so that helps purify the soul. So that helps him connect, helps him connect to purity, to holiness. It helps implant within him a yearning for that which is worthy in life. And then one looks at the mundane, the base attractions, and he looks at them and says, why would I want to spend my time on that? Once a person connects to learning the details of Torah, so then that develops a love of Torah within him. This takes time. It doesn't happen the first day you walk into Machon Meir. Now the Chazon Ish continues. V'omnam imamla shel cheker ha'alacha mashreshet ahavat ha'din be'ofen miyuchad ba'alacha zo shu osek ma. Says the Chazon Ish, though working hard at understanding halacha, that will implant within a person the love of that law. He will have a special connection to that halacha, to that law that he is studying. Mosifa ahava klalit lecheker ha'din b'chol mishpatei ha'torah. But it has a more global effect, in that when a person studies the details of one law, a person develops an affinity for all the laws of the Torah. Ki ha'emunah bapratim shel ha'mitzvah bevchinat rigshi tzricha kinyan ve'enena tivi. Because having that connection, what he calls emunah, in the details of a mitzvah, if you want to sense a respect, if you want to sense a value, that you look at the details of a mitzvah and you value them, that doesn't happen naturally. When you look at the mitzvahs and you analyze the details at first glance, it doesn't develop a connection. You look at the details, I'll give an example. V'amuskala shitchi marchika, and looking a cursory look at the mitzvahs. And that's what often happens. When a person does not delve into yeshiva, when he does not take the time to understand what's really going on here, so then a superficial glance at the details of Torah can cause a person to disconnect, to walk away. For example, he says, the idea that shaking out a garment on Shabbos under certain circumstances can be a biblical prohibition. And on the other hand, to hack down a tree, to cut down a tree in the forest on Shabbos, can be a shvut, can be a rabbinic prohibition. You look at that and say, wait a second, what did I do when I shook out the garment? That's biblical, and this is rabbinic. The Chayutzebo, and you have many examples of that, where if you look at it at first glance and you don't understand what's really going on there, then you're not attracted. It doesn't resonate. You don't connect. Olamin ki akelim shenimkeu lanochi be'erev Pesach tzichin tvila lachar ha'Pesach. Or you learn the halacha that says if you would sell your vessels to a non-Jew before Pesach, some people do this, they think they're being very frum, so they not only sell their chametz, they sell all their vessels to a non-Jew. But then when you buy them back after Pesach, you have to toivel them, you have to take them to a mikvah. V'yoter kashe le'amin, so you say, why? What happened? It was in my closet. V'yoter kashe le'amin bedinim amonot, kasher hu nechaz besvachim chavero. But you know what's most difficult? When you have an issue with your friend, a monetary issue, and suddenly the halacha tells you one way, and it doesn't resonate with you, how do you connect it? Shekol tzva midot metuchot neged chavero. What happens is, it's like the army of emotions suddenly gets into play, and I'm ready to kill the other guy. Maybe I'm not ready to kill him, but I am certain as anything that he is wrong. He is stealing me blind. He is being unfair. I have to do everything in my power to fight him because I'm in the right and he's in the wrong. If you haven't yet had that wonderful experience of feeling wronged by someone, you will. It's part of life. And when you do, you suddenly notice how you're fully charged to fight your battle. Because, of course, we're all convinced we're in the right. Ve'inenu roeh chova le'atzmo. And the nature of mankind, every one of us, our nature is that we are so partial and we don't see it. And we don't see where we are at fault. We like to think that we're honest. We try to be impartial. But realistically, we're not. And what happens is a person's desire overtakes him and it shifts him in every direction and a person is blinded. And a person becomes deaf. And a person thinks that whatever he does is okay. He's convinced that he's in the right. Can he force himself to see that he's in the wrong? Does a person have that tremendous inner stamina to say, I will subdue my heart if I'm wrong, if the halacha says I'm wrong? It doesn't work that way. Then the rabbi didn't understand, the halacha didn't understand, but I'm not wrong. Wait. You used to respect halacha. What happened? Suddenly we're so partial.
And a
person can delve in Torah and work very hard to understand the different halachic works as he tries to understand, but what he's really trying to understand is why he's right. But if a person works hard understanding Torah and he's spent days and nights really toiling to understand the details of Torah and Halacha. And when you work with the Torah, the oral law, so that's so vast, you can work day and night, and you can work your whole life, and there's still more to learn. Hagia Zot, that toil, when a person works hard to really understand, not at the moment where he's faced with the challenge, but the toil throughout his life, Hitris biyado kenegedai hitcharut shebnei adam ve'avat hechamas. That's a shield. That's how a person can remain honest and impartial. Because the truth is that we do compete. We are competitive. We do try to be victorious in every battle. And like it or not, there is that competitive element to every issue that comes up. You can take the smallest issue. Sometimes, you know, I'll quote something and two guys will start arguing where the quote is from. And I stay silent. You know, we can't forget it in our house. We once had two guests. I don't know if Betzalel was there. You might have been there. It was a Shabbos meal, and they were arguing about whether a person who lies flat on his back in the water would float or not. So the argument was very heated. They were ready to throw salt shakers at one another. You remember this, Betzalel? Were you there? But, I just kept quiet. But you could see the two arguing. So one says to the other one, how could it be that by lying flat you don't drown? So then why do people drown? You know, then everyone would just lie flat in the sea and no one would drown. You see people drown. So obviously you can't stay afloat. So the guy says, doesn't work that way because people are flailing and people are moving and people shift their head and people shift their bodies. And that's what causes them to drown. And the other guy says, nonsense. If they could float, they would float. And then the first guy says, what do you mean nonsense? It's a fact. And he says, no, it's not. And he says, yeah, it is. He says, come on, dead men float. Why do dead bodies float? He says, I don't know why dead bodies float, but live bodies wouldn't float. Otherwise, people wouldn't die drowning. You tell me when he's dead, he floats. But when he's alive, he doesn't. Come on. So they're arguing back and forth. And I'm just sitting there quietly. And in our house, this has become a legacy because they spend about 20 minutes with arguments back and forth. And you ask yourself, why does it matter? What difference does it make? Is there any relevant difference? And we all kept quiet. The whole house kept quiet as these two were arguing back and forth. And every so often, they'd remind themselves that this is a trivial matter. Throughout the meal, each one would suddenly remember another argument. Boom. Then the other one would answer back. What are we arguing about? That's what's called Ahavat HaNitzachon. We want to be victorious. We are competitive. If you guys ever went to camp, you know there's color war. Blue, what do you do, right? We are the green wrecking machine. We're the blue wrecking crew. You guys didn't do that? Okay. So what are you fighting for? Blue team's going to win. Who cares? Why does it matter? But you have people shouting at the top of their lungs, putting on skits for what? You win and you get what? Nothing. You just won. We won color war.
And next year you're on green.
See, I know. I see you've been there. Yeah. What are we arguing? What are we fighting for? Ahavat HaNitzachon. We have a built-in desire to be victorious. The problem is when that enters the halachic realm, But then maybe I'm not right. Maybe I am not in the right. And it's so hard for us to be impartial.
When a person works during his life to understand Torah, so that's a shield in his hand,
to protect himself from that competitive nature that distorts our vision of the world.
And it helps a person acquire the love of justice.
And he prizes justice more than any money. To develop that desire, that love of justice, of what is right, you have to work at Torah. If you work hard at Torah, you develop that, and then it's more prized than money, and then a person can be impartial. Then a person can really try to analyze what's right. You know where you see this? When two people have learned long enough and developed their traits long enough, you see them discussing halacha and bringing proofs to one another. You know, I was thinking about it, and I have a proof that you're right. Let me show you why I think you're probably right and I'm wrong. If you listen closely, when you go to a base medrash where people are developed, where people have learned for a while, and they're really in pursuit of the truth, you'll hear this happening. Because the issue is, what does Hashem want? The issue is, where's the truth lie? We're all working very hard to discover, what does Hashem want of us? That the ego doesn't play center stage. People have an ego, people have to deal with that, it's a weakness we all have. But when a person develops his connection to Torah, so then that overrides it. And that yearning for the truth helps a person say to his friend, to his chavrusa, you know, I thought about it, I have a proof that you're right. I think I'm wrong. So that's what the Torah develops within us. That's one of the great assets of learning Torah, that we develop that yearning for a world that's just, a yearning that overrides our yearning for money and allows us to see clearly, even where we are completely partial, where it clearly affects us, the outcome and the decision.